part of God wants to break in.
Yeah.
He wants to break in. You know, sometimes we can get so used to having.
You know, and we've been blessed with some amazing worship teams over the years.
Yeah.
You know, we really have. And sometimes we can almost sort of get used to it, you know what I mean? We can sort of, oh, they'll do it all. I'll just sing along. Do you know, God wants to break into our spirit. And this morning, in a sense, there was a... God reminded me of the scripture where it says, you know, if you know, even the rocks will sing. You know, and I was thinking that I don't want a rock to sing this morning. I don't want to be the person that allows the rocks to sing. Do you know what I mean? You know, and God wants to do something in our spirit. You know, and you know, even what I'm sharing this morning, it's about spirit. It's not about soul. It's not about, it's about spirit. Spirit to spirit. And that's what this is all about. So we're continuing with the our look at Ephesians, the letter Paul wrote to the church, potentially wrote to the church in Ephesus. And I'm going on with verses 15 to 23. And, you know, there is so much in this. You know, you could spend months, and we were saying the other day, you could spend months almost in each verse. There is so much stuff in it. So I'm really going to skim, okay? But, you know, what I really hope is that you will go deeper. Yeah? That you will spend time. Because it's about you and him, not me and you and him. Yeah? Okay. So I'm just going to read the scripture, and then we'll have a look and see what God wants to say about it this morning. So ever since, this is verse 15 to 23. So this is Paul's prayer for spiritual wisdom. Do you want a bit of wisdom?
Yeah.
Yeah? Spiritual wisdom. Not just any wisdom. There are many, many wise people in this world who think they're wise. But this is about spiritual wisdom. This is knowing things by the Spirit. Not knowing it by the flesh. And our own knowledge. Okay, ever since I first heard, this is Paul, and this is his prayer, of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus, and this is talking about the Ephesus church, and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight, so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. What we were singing this morning. What we were singing this morning. It was a declaration of our faith in this amazing God. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. Not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Wow. Wow. And I've only got 25 minutes. Come on, guys. Okay, a famous writer of the early 1700s called Alexander Pope wrote this. Know then thyself. Presume not God to scan. The proper study of mankind is man. An equally famous person called Charles Spurgeon in the 18th century responded to this by saying, it has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's elect is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. The highest science, the loftiest speculation, the mightiest philosophy which can ever engage the attention of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, the doings, and the existence of the great God whom he calls his Father. Ta-da! I'll sit down now. No. Okay. So, at the centre of this prayer this morning is Paul's heart and belief that the church will grasp that if we really want to know who we are, we need to know who God is. Our identity comes from him. And so the more we know him, the more we know ourselves. That's what this prayer is all about. Now, over the last 2 weeks, Tim and then Leslie have looked with us at the spiritual blessings found in the first 14 verses of this letter. And I hope it left you with a feeling of, boy, am I rich! I'm a millionaire in Christ. I've got so much stuff. Yeah? Yeah, okay, one or two. Okay. You see, whenever we're tempted to question God's commitment, all we've got to do is look at the cross. And remember that he's lavished his love upon us. He's lavished his forgiveness. He's lavished his mercy. He's blessed us with an internal inheritance, as we heard last week. And he sealed us in Christ Jesus with the Holy Spirit of promise. That is who we were praying for to come today. That is who we were hoping, you know, our hope is he will come and invade our lives. And in this passage, what we see is Paul responding to what he's already written. And he responds in a way in worship, but through prayer. He thanks Father for the faith and love of the believers. And he prays that their knowledge of God will increase as they understand their hope, the inheritance, and the power available to them, and that it deepens. And he ultimately prays with this amazing thing about the exaltation of Jesus Christ and his position and his authority. Now, two Sundays ago, we had a number of words about waiting on the Lord. You remember that when we were here? About waiting on the Lord and receiving his peace. And in a way, this prayer is all about that. Because what Paul is praying for is that we will really know God on a personal and intimate way. And as we do that, we will grasp the absolute assurance, the total security we can have in our relationship with him. And when we get that, we can live in peace. We can wait and not grow weary. You see, Paul didn't pray this prayer for them to receive new stuff, new blessings, but for them to understand what they already had. And so often, that's what we need to do, isn't it? It's not, give me more of something or give me something new. No, you've got it. You just got to get it. In here and then in here. And if we get it, we'll live differently. Okay, so what was his first topic? Well, the first topic he covered was in verse 17. So let's have a look at verse 17. It's on there now, I say. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. So here, Paul calls God the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's praying that we will know him better. And yet we know when we look at Scripture that actually what it says about God is he's unsearchable. Ah, it's a slight problem. It says that he is living in unapproachable light. Well, if I can't search for him because he's unsearchable, if I can't see him even in the light, how can I know him? How can I know God? How can I know someone who cannot be seen? Well, the answer is found in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, God revealed himself through Jesus. In the Gospel of John, it says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. So when one of his disciples called Philip asked God, show us the Father, Jesus replied, well, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So we need to know Jesus if we want to know God. And Paul also calls him glorious Father. Not just any father. Not an okay father. Not a he'll do father. Glorious Father. Because he's glorious, he's majestic, he's holy. And again, often in our humanity, often we relate God the Father to maybe our father, our earthly father. You know, me as a father, I wasn't brilliant. I wasn't bad. Probably average, I imagine. Don't know, better ask my boys. They might say differently. They turned out all right. But that's not the way God the Father is. He is a glorious Father. He's a perfect Father. And so we need to know who our Father truly is. We need to know what he has revealed about himself to us so we can know him better. You see, knowing God is not about reading a book. I was going to bring it in because, again, I'm into, you know, Leslie, as we know, is into motor racing and Lewis Hamilton and all that sort of stuff. And we got on our shelf somewhere a biography of Lewis Hamilton. Okay, you remember? You do, yeah. Got it, yeah? Now you can read the book all about Lewis. But will you really know him? The only way you're going to really know him is to be with him. It's to spend time with a guy. Live with him, really. Spend time. Connect. Build relationship. That's how you get to know someone. That's what Paul is trying to get us to realize. You see, as I said right at the beginning, without knowing God, we can't know ourselves. It's a guy called John Calvin. And he wrote this. He said, the knowledge of God and that of ourselves are connected. Without knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self. And again, we know in the world our sense of identity and people trying to find who they are. It's a massive issue. People trying to feel, well, I don't quite know who I am, what my purpose is. And it's God gives us our identity. God gives us our purpose. You see, who am I? It's a big question, isn't it? Who am I? But the only way we can know who we are, the only way we can find meaning and purpose in our life, is by knowing the God who gave it to us, who created us. So it's not about taking an online course. All right, do a 12-week Zoom and I'll know God. We need to spend time. We need to have relationship with him. You see, Paul prayed for the Ephesians to know God better. You see, they knew God in a way, and we all know God in a way, yeah? You know, I think we have some connection with God. Yeah, I know God. But he prayed, not that they know God, but they know him better. They knew God already, but he wanted them to grow in that knowledge. You see, we can never know God enough. There's always more. You see, there's more that he wants to reveal about himself and about ourselves to each of us. He wants to reveal more of himself to each of you. He wants you to know him better. He yearns for a relationship where we are day in, day out, learning more about him. And therefore learning more about ourselves. We can never truly say, I know my God. You know, I know my God in every respect. I mean, how many years married now? 36, something like that. And I still don't know Leslie. Well, I do know Leslie. That's Leslie, by the way, my wife. I know her, and I've known her for, you know, 40-something years now. Two-thirds of my life. But I'm still finding out stuff about her. I'm still finding what makes her tick. I'm still trying to work out what I can do to please her. Maybe it's just me. Yeah. Oh, all right then. And that's on a human level. Yeah. We are trying to find more about God on a spiritual level. We're trying to find and know the unsearchable. We're trying to find and know the one who is in the light that we cannot see. Wow. And so what does Paul say? How does he do this in here? What he says is this. He prays that the eyes of their hearts might be enlightened with three great truths. So, let's just read the next few verses. He says this, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. Three amazing truths that Paul was praying for the church to believe and understand and know more about. So firstly, he prays that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened, literally flooded with the light of revelation. Revelation that only comes from God's Spirit. You know, we've all got eyes. Some work better than others. I'm just into my first week of wearing varifocals ever. So if I sort of fall off the stage, it's not because I've been drinking. It's because I can't see where I'm going. And I'm trying to get used to them. But we've all got eyes. We can all see on a human level. But that's not what we can with God. You can't see God on a human level. We can only see God through the Spirit, through revelation. You know, this morning Tim was saying, you know, God, you know, the Spirit wants to come. Well, why? Because he wants to dwell within us and reveal God the Father to us. That's why he wants to come. And that's why we need to have him, to open our spiritual eyes. There's a story of a lady called Fanny Crosby quite a while ago. And she lost her eyesight when she was just 8 months old. And so she lived, you know, completely blind. So she lived in a world totally blind. Didn't see the world, had no idea what was in it, and so on. And she met Christ and had a personal relationship with him. And yet, even though she couldn't see, boy, she could see. Yes. She could see in the Spirit. She could see God. She met Christ personally, had her spiritual eyes open, even though she was blind, physically. She wrote over 9,000 hymns as a praise to God for what she could see in the Spirit. That's what Paul wants us to get to. So when we're singing this morning, and we've only got, bless, one piano, you know, Hannah and a dodgy guy. Oh, sorry, Malcolm. I love him to bits, and he knows that. Love you, mate. It's not about what's here. It's about what's here. Because it's about revelation by the Spirit. So it shouldn't matter whether we have, a 20 band, size band up here or none. The worship comes from here because of the revelation of God through the Spirit. That's what stirs us to sing. Not the songs, not, in a sense, not the music. What's in here? That's what it did for Fanny. Okay, so what did he pray? What did he want God to reveal to the church? Firstly, the confident hope he has given to those he called. We've heard it already. Tim mentioned it right back at the beginning, a couple of weeks ago. Our calling is not random. You're not here randomly chosen. Oh, I'll just pick these guys. We'll see what happens with them. If they're no good, we'll get another lot in. He's chosen you and me for purpose. We are called for a clear and definite purpose. We are called from something to something. When God called the Israelites out of Egypt, he called them to himself. He called them his people to grow in his likeness, to become holy, to be a priestly nation as a blessing to the world. And in the same way, you and I have been called to belong to Christ, to have fellowship with him, to grow in his image and eventually become like Jesus. That is our hope. It's a lovely story of a guy called Philip Henry, who's the father of a famous Bible commentator, if you do any sort of real get into some Bible stuff, called Matthew Henry. Right? He commented on the Bible. And his father, Philip, fell in love with a Christian woman who belonged to a very high social circle. So, you know, in terms of social circles, he was down here and she was up here. Okay, so there was quite a gap socially. And at the time, that mattered. Okay, that mattered. And her parents saw this disparity, this lowly man down here and her high status up there. And they really felt that actually it was an obstacle to them getting married, that they shouldn't get married because he really wasn't in the same league, shall we say. Okay? And her answer to her parents was this. Well, so they asked her, this man, Philip Henry, where has he come from? What's his background? She answered, I do not know where he has come from, but I know where he is going. She didn't look at his social status, she looked at his spiritual status. She knew where he was going, And that was all she wanted, that was all she cared about. You see, we've been called to the highest circle. Yeah? Amen. We have. We're a royal priesthood. Come on, guys. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people set apart. Do you know where you're going? God's call is amazing. God's hope is even more amazing. You see, the hope we've been called to is not to come here on Sunday, sing three songs, as good as they are, let some person like me yell at you from the stage, and then go home and try as best you can to be better than you were the day before. That's not the hope that we've been called to. So we need to know the hope that we have been called to, because it's not that. What is it? We've been redeemed by God. We've been chosen by God. We've been adopted by God. We've been made heirs by God. We've been sealed by God. And Paul wants us to know these things. We've been called to take part in the salvation of God and belong to God's family. We were a people with no hope. Now we are a people with hope. That is our call. There's so much there that we've got, you know, that Paul revealed in his letter. We have an amazing hope in Jesus. And he just wants us to know it more. And we need to know it more. Okay, secondly, it says, he goes on to say, we are his holy people. His holy people are his rich and glorious inheritance. His rich and glorious inheritance. You see, in the previous verses, Paul talks about what we inherit, which is incredible. But actually, this is not what it's saying. It's not repeating what he said before. This is saying we, the church, are his, God's inheritance. It's not the same. It is amazing. Why would God want to inherit me? What is it about me that makes him want me so badly? Because he's lavished his love upon us. He's lavished his grace upon us. He's lavished his mercy upon us. He loves us so deeply. He did everything, including give his own son. That's how much we mean to him. That's how much I mean and you mean to him. He was prepared to do whatever it took so that you and I could be with him forever. We are his inheritance. We are the ultimate. There is nothing more that he wants. There is nothing greater. And don't think it's the person next to you, but not you. It's every single one of you. Every single one of you. If you're out there, every single one of you out there. You are his inheritance. Finally, Paul prays that we will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. We need to recognize the enormous, incredible power of God. But not to sit back and admire it from afar, going, ooh, isn't he good? Look what he can do. What Paul says is this: it is for us. Some versions say it is directed towards us. His power is directed towards us, not over us. You see, God is not a dictator. God is not some potentate dictator that, puts his power over us and we are suppressed and we have to do what he says. No, he directs his power toward us as a loving father who wants to see the best for his child. That's the difference. God wants us to know the immeasurable greatness of the power directed towards our lives. I was thinking, how do you go explain that? And so he explained it by saying, well, look at what Jesus happened to Jesus. Look at what God did. God took a man, raised him from the dead, seated him with spiritual authority over all things. Nothing can defeat him. All powers and principalities, all things are beneath him, are under his feet. He has total victory. He has power far beyond all other powers. And then he says, and that's for you.
Amen.
Because he says, he gave him. He gave Jesus. He gave Jesus to the church, to you and to me. As head, yes. Us as the body. But he gave him with all the power, all the authority, everything, so that we could have the same. Come on. So that we could have the same. The church has authority and power to overcome all things. Because he, Jesus Christ, is our leader. He is our head. And it says we are filled with and filled by Christ so that we can have the fullness of that power in our lives. In his letter to the church in Philippi, so the Philippians, Paul said this. Now, this is a man who knew, who really knew, you know, I say he knew Christ and he knew God. But he says this, I want to know Christ. Hello? I thought you did. And experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. That was Paul's heart. Spurgeon, a very famous writer, said this, Paul already knew the Lord Jesus by faith. He knew so much of him as to be able to teach others. He had looked to Jesus and known the power of his death. But he now desired that the vision of his faith might still be better known by experience. You see, you may know a man and have an idea that he is powerful, but to know him and his power over you is a stage further. You may have read of a man so as to be familiar with his history and his character, and yet you may have no knowledge of him and his personal influence over you. Paul desired intimate acquaintance with the Lord Jesus to such a degree that he should feel his power at every point and know the effect of all that he had wrought out in his life, death, and resurrection. We need to know that power. But we will only know that power when we know the God who has that power through Jesus Christ. And as I said, there's so much I can say, but just don't have the time to say it today. So I just want to conclude. Paul in this prayer prays that our knowledge of God will increase, and with it a growing understanding of our hope, our inheritance, or God's inheritance, us as his inheritance, and his power available to us. So how do we do this? God wants us to know him, not to know about him. If we want to get to know someone, we've got to spend time with them. We need to pray and seek to have that spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need to desire the word of God. But without the Spirit, we won't enjoy it. It won't have the same depth, the same meaning, the same with worship, preaching, whatever else. It is by the Spirit that we will get that revelation. We need to know our Father intimately if we are to know the hope to which we have been called, to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in us, and the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us that we've seen in the resurrection and the raising up of Jesus. So let's make it our goal to get to know him better And then we will really see what hope we have. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Father God, I just thank you so much for everything in this. But my prayer, our prayer, is that you will come by your Spirit. That you will reveal yourself more and more. Help us to know you better. Help us to reach the unfathomable depths of who you are by the Spirit. Lord, we want to know you more. We want to know you more. Not in human knowledge, but by your Spirit, Lord. So just, we're going to say over this week, over these coming weeks, Lord, will you just reveal more as we search with our hearts? Just pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.